At 15 years old, a young girl by the name of Crystal Ann had all but given up on the thought that she'd ever be a part of a family. In the 5 years since her mother delivered her to a hospital because she could no longer care for her, she went through a series of foster and crisis homes as well as treatment facilities. She believed she would never have a family again. Until a Texas family spotted her on AdoptUsKids.org, and everything changed. They didn't actually meet face-to-face for a while, but they corresponded by letter. Crystal Ann still has the best letter that she has ever received from Kim, which states, "I believe in you, Crystal Ann." She says, "I was jumping up and down when I read it because no one had ever said that to me before." They had their first phone conversation on her 16th birthday. Kim and Lori flew down to visit her at her group home 2 months later, with the first meeting being magical and full of joy. Crystal Ann was adopted on her 17th birthday, and it brought the gift of hope to her. She goes on to share, "Teenagers are kids too. We need homes, love, and patience. Don't overlook us because of our age or the labels others put on us. All we want is the love that we should have been given our whole lives." What a beautiful story for Crystal Ann. And what a beautiful dream that so many kids have, that one day they would be part of a family as well. And when I think of that word adoption and I hear Crystal Ann's story, there's a phrase that comes to mind for me for adoption, and that is adoption is sharing the gift of love. In a very concrete way, it's loving someone who's not a part of your family yet and welcoming them in to be a part of your family. And whether it's a teenager or a baby or whatever age the child might be, adoption is a wonderful, wonderful experience for them that changes the rest of their lives. Now, I have something to share with all of you here today, and I think you'll be surprised when I say this to you, some of you at least, and that is everyone here in the sanctuary today has actually been adopted. The same kind of looks from last night, puzzlement, some smiles. But what I mean by that is simply this: in a spiritual sense, everybody here who has come to Christ and is part of God's family because of their relationship with Him has been adopted. Romans 8:15 shares, "You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." You remember Jesus taught the disciples to call God actually Abba, which is the most intimate term of the day, actually meant daddy. And in the Hebrew life, in the Jewish life, you just wrote out the consonants of God's name. You didn't even say God's name. So for Jesus to teach them to call him Abba was revolutionary. And it spoke of the intimacy and the depth of closeness that Jesus was inviting his disciples and all of us into in our relationship with God. The good news for each one of us here today is that you are one of God's adopted children. You're part of his family. And in fact, if you look at the Roman law of the day during which the scriptures were written, they affirmed that the process of legal adoption for the chosen heir entitled them to the reversion of all property and civil status, the burdens and benefits of the adopter becoming one with them. So that meant that whoever was adopted was part of the family legally and in every sense of the word, both for benefit and for the challenges that that would present. I believe that adoption was part of Abba's plan from the very beginning. He wanted a family of children that would be brought back home through his son, Jesus Christ, each and every one of them being invited to rejoice in being part of a family again in a very real and powerful way. The Lord God Almighty welcomes us to his family and invites every human being who will ever live to be a part of that family through Jesus Christ. We are encouraged to know that our needs will be provided, not always our wants, but certainly our needs, and generously so. And we're also reminded in the scriptures in the New Testament that we have received every spiritual blessing in Christ. If you ever wonder in your life if there's ever a time where you believe you really haven't received everything that God has for you, I would invite you to remember that you have actually received every spiritual blessing in Christ, and it's only for you to ask and only for you to open your heart to receive all that God would give you. The other wonderful thing that I believe that you and I can celebrate here today is as members of God's family, we have been created for a purpose. We weren't just born into this world to live it with a sense of aimlessness, without a sense of destiny. But the truth is, each and every one of you have a purpose for which God brought you into the world. And part of living our life is discovering that purpose and living deeply into it. We see this in our first lesson today in Jeremiah, and I invite you to turn to that in your bulletin if you'd like. It's right at the very beginning. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. And there is one word in this particular verse of Scripture that is the hinge of the whole verse. And it's actually the word knew. That word knew not only means in the Hebrew foreknowledge, but it means choice and purpose. And what this scripture is saying is that God knew you and I from the very beginning and had a choice and a purpose for our lives. You know, the reality is people are still arguing about when life begins, even to the present moment. Is it at conception? Is it at 4 weeks? Is it at 3 months? Is it right before birth? I realize that even within this congregation and certainly within this community, there are many and varied views about abortion, very passionate feelings on both sides of this issue, and that is true. But 54 million abortions later, and with some of the recent revelations of what has been happening at Planned Parenthood, what does Jeremiah 1:4 say to us today? What does it speak to us? What does Jeremiah reveal to us? Well, I believe as I read this particular part of Scripture, what we hear from Jeremiah is simply this. Every human life begins in the mind of God and then is physically manifested. Look at that verse. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. That's before you were in the womb. He knew you. And so as you look at that word knew, having foreknowledge, having choice and purpose in terms of that life, what that is saying to me is that before you ever showed up in your mother's womb, that you were in the mind of God. God knew about you. God was thinking about you. God had a plan for your life. And God was excited about that. And so the reality is, as we look at this scripture, is that God, mothers, and fathers are part of creating sacred and beautiful life in the womb. They're all involved in this together in a very real and a very powerful way. And it's important that you and I hear that and embrace that, that God had you and I in mind long before we were physically manifested in the wombs of our mothers. And that's a powerful thing, isn't it? You know, as I thought about this and as I considered this, I get really excited. You know, I always thought, well, you know what? Couple people love each other, you have a baby, and there you are. But it's a little bit more than that. Because according to Jeremiah, God is part of the process. And I thought, well, Joe, you know, maybe you're taking this a little too far. Maybe you're reading too much into Jeremiah 1:4, even though this word new from the Hebrew is saying all this. But then I remembered Psalm 139, verses 13 to 16. You might want to read that as well sometime. You'll read in that particular psalm where David is proclaiming how the Lord God knit him together in his mother's womb, that he knew him as he formed him in the depths of the earth. And so this only affirms Jeremiah 1:4 and the idea that God had intention and purpose in your life, that God chose life for you. And God believes in you. And God has a destiny in you. And God has thought about you. And what is true for you is true for every human baby that is ever conceived. I mean, I would ask you, where do you draw the line? And I think that's for God to do. And so there's this wonderful creative process that God is involved in humanity and in life. God so loved the world that he sent his son. God so loves you and me that he's involved in the creative process of every human being in a very intimate and wonderful and incredible way. And what that says to me is that each of you are special. Each of you are unique. Every human being who has ever and who will ever live. Unique fingerprints. Unique DNA. Some of you have hair and some of us don't. Some of you are introverts and some of you are extroverts. Some of you wake up in the morning and everything is going to be great through the day, and others of you have a hard time getting out of bed in the morning. Each and every one of us powerfully and uniquely different. Different destinies, different gift clusters, different abilities to affect people. God using us in such unique and varied ways. It's all a tapestry of the love and the beauty and the creativeness of God and of humanity working together. I think it's a beautiful thing to celebrate our uniqueness and our specialness and the giftedness of every human life. This weekend, we are really celebrating artistic creation in St. John's in ways that maybe you don't even realize. After our service today, I invite you to come back to the patio for the coffee hour, but also take some time to go into Sugden Hall. You'll see Jamie Treadwell there, artist in residence at St. John's this past week, which is wonderful. And he has been busy about doing his artwork. There is painting happening in our room that we formed out of there for Jamie to be in. And I want you to go back there and take a look at his stuff. He has some other stuff he's already painted and prints. Just wonderful, wonderful works of artistic creation happening in our very midst. In just a few moments, you'll have Dean Hunt sharing about his latest book that he's written, Aristocrats of the Spirit. He's an author who's written a number of different books. He'll be on the patio at the end of the service giving out autographed copies of his books to those who would like to have one. And so, again, another artistic presence in our midst. I realize a number of you are very gifted artists. Go back into the nursery in the Sunday school. You'll see some of Cage Roy's artwork there as well. And others of you are gifted in terms of writing and carpentry skills and things like that. So many different and gifted artists who are creative in this place. The gift of music that we celebrate, Glenn and his singing, and the choir that is present here week after week after week. I just close my eyes and listen and enjoy every note that is shared. And what about the artistic creation of last week as I concluded my series of the Our Father, and there just happened to be a woman from Argentina 1 week out of the year, Christina, who comes up and sings the Our Father in Aramaic. What a gift from God that was. What a miracle of the moment. And as much of all of those things are beautiful artistic creations, they are, and we celebrate each and every person who's been giving that gift. I believe that one of the most beautiful artistic expressions in life will be love's creation of a baby. It will always be unique, beautiful, make you laugh till your sides split and you start to cry. Hope about the future and what it might bring for them and for your family and for the world. A life to be embraced. A life to be treasured and honored from the womb to the tomb. Every human being unique and precious to God. Yesterday at the 5 o'clock service, we also blessed some of the items that Stitches of Love creates as well. Knittings of prayer quilts and prayer shawls, babies for little babies that babies can play with and children can play with in different care facilities. But one of the other things I wanted to share with you were these two hearts. These are actually, both of these would be given, one to a mother and one to a preemie baby that is in the ICU who can't be with their mother for weeks or maybe for months, given what they're going through. And what they do is they place one heart on the mother and they place the other heart on the baby, and then they switch them so that the baby gets the scent of the mother and begins to bond with her even though she may not be able to be with her physically. How beautiful is this? I just found out about these last night. I said, I want a pair of those. How beautiful is that? Life, every human life, begins in the mind of God. Every human life that is coming into the world is a gift from the Creator. That life is entrusted to you and me. May we embrace life. May we embrace mothers and fathers, whatever they may be going through. May we embrace one another in the love of the Lord and the love of Jesus Christ and celebrate the specialness and the giftedness of each and every human being.